Hello.
Hello.
Hi. Do you know why I did that? It's because last week I thought when we opened up the podcasties, I sounded really horrible and aggressive and really drunk and posh.
I don't think you said hello.
I was like, yeah, so basically we're like doing another podcast because we haven't like been here in ages. And I just listened back to it and was mortified by my voice. So I'm just trying to be like really relaxed today.
You know what I missed? Having Steve's thing, Dawn Porter show.
Chris. Yeah. Is going to play us an intro and an outro on the ukulele that we can record.
Oh, cool.
And I might even put a few lyrics to it, but hopefully we're going to have that by next week.
Oh, I love
that. So that's something to look forward to. So, on the show, we're always talking about our friend Claudia.
Flend.
Claudia. So we brought you in today. Hi.
Hi, my friend Dawn.
So the reason I asked you to come on the show is very simple. It's because I think you've got a really cute voice.
Thank you very much.
So why don't you say something? Let's give Claudia a sentence to say.
She can say, the water in Majorca don't taste like white water.
Well, she could say something really profound.
No, I know why I love your voice. It's because you say brilliant little non-sweary slang words like, honestly, Dawn, he was going bloody bananas.
Yes, I know. I learned that from my mum, who tries not to say the F word and goes, oh, fiddlesticks.
I love that. That's adorable.
And she totally gets married. Oh, this is bonkers.
Yes.
It's so eccentric, isn't it?
I try to be nice. Like my T-shirt says, how to be a juicy girl, be nice.
Aww.
Are you a juicy girl?
Really juicy.
You went a bit naughty there.
So we're all wearing pink today for Wear It Pink Day.
Oh, is that why we're doing it?
Oh,
I knew that.
It's Breast Cancer Awareness Day, and hopefully loads of people across the UK, but not quite so many people in America, are wearing pink today, so mm-hmm. I thought we'd join in. Eileen, obviously, being Eileen, took it one step further than the average person.
And it's too much. This is my thing, isn't it?
Why don't you tell everyone what you've got on?
Got on, yeah.
I don't know what it is. It's like a little hat, bear hat, pink bear hat.
With ears.
With ears.
That's pink, I mean, furry bear hat with ears.
But I look like a bear, a pink bear, right?
And it's got a big widow's peak.
And I quite like that. I think it accentuates my eyebrows.
It's exceptional.
Yeah. It is. I like it. I found it in my apartment. I don't know how it got there. And then pink jacket. Oh, I got pink bra.
Oh, good. Me too. I've got pink
too. I've got pink knickers on.
Yeah, pink knickers.
Pink knickers.
Yeah. If I can get them.
Oh, yeah. Confirmed.
No pink underwear.
So I think today, though, every girl should get a bloke to check their breasts.
Ooh.
Wow.
Great idea.
Well, do you know what?
You go first.
I'm actually, I don't know if I like it.
No.
Well, I kind of had a big thing about like breast cancer and checking breasts. And when I was making my show, one thing that I really didn't want to do is desexualize boobs for guys and make them scary and dangerous and something threatening. Mm-hmm. So I really didn't want to, and a lot of people say get your boyfriend to check, and that's fine if that's right for some people. Mm-hmm. But I'm a bit like, I want my boyfriend to think of my boobs as just this fun bags. Just total
I didn't
fun
say
bags.
Get your boyfriend to check your breasts.
Get your best friend. Get your best friend to check your breasts.
Yeah.
Excuse me. Hi, my name's Dawn. It's Breast Cancer Awareness Day. Would you mind?
but I just
have that thing about it, like, in some relationships, I think it would be like a really cool
I used to
thing.
Get my ex-husband to check mine sometimes. Like, I'd say, does this feel right? And then he'd have a feel, just because he knew my breasts.
Yeah.
That's why he's our ex. No, I'm just
It's true.
I'm just kidding.
But Claudia, you said something quite interesting about something.
When I was...
I'm so good at this.
When I was putting on my deodorant this morning, and I just started, obviously, thinking about wearing pink and today, and it really occurred to me, was I just giving myself a potential dose of upcoming breast cancer? Because I think it's pretty well regarded now as deodorant being a cause, isn't it? Or isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, there's so many causes and reasons. You can pick up any national newspaper and there's been some study that says lettuce causes breast cancer, or, you know, coffee does or whatever. And I think...
Can I ask you about when you looked into this? How about in countries where they don't use deodorant?
I don't know. I didn't go that far.
Breast cancer. Yeah.
It does make sense to me, though. Not so much the deodorant aspect, but the antiperspirant, which stops you sweeting completely.
Yeah.
Because if you're blocking an avenue for toxins to come out, they have got to go
somewhere. Absolutely.
So it just kind of makes sense that if they back up into your body and accumulate somewhere, it doesn't seem unfeasible that could be a cause. So it's something that I used to really pay attention to and try and use natural deodorants, but they just
they don't work. I was going to say, have you ever found one?
I can't bear stinking. It's so hideous.
I know, like Crystal Rock
Tom's thing. That works for me. Crystal Rock, really? The Crystal Rock ones were some of the better ones, but some of the other herbal ones.
Oh, I got one in Australia that was tea tree oil, which actually did work, but then you just, your armpits stink of tea tree oil.
I don't know, if it's 100 degrees and you're going for a hike in LA, then I need some serious barrier.
Exactly, this is the thing about all of that, is that, you know, social hygiene makes us need to wear deodorant, and we do need to wear it. So what I try and do is just overall have some kind of balance. Like, I'm really anal about ingredients. I don't eat anything with chemicals in it, and sugar-free stuff is just...
Like Cheetos and things like that.
Listen, I had this argument with my boyfriend the other day. I do, and like, this is what I'm saying. But it's back to the 80-20% thing, isn't it? Yeah. Like, your fat and calorie intake compared to your stuff like, you know, chemical food and stuff like that. You don't have to be totally religious about it, but you can just look after yourself in lots of different ways. And I think, you know, to cut off deodorant, to cut out anything with whatever in it, is just, it's not really realistic in the lives that we live.
Oh, I'll never cut out wearing deodorant because I just can't bear stinking. It's so horrible. But I would like to find a natural one that works. I heard that Denise Van Outen is the face of a new...
Oh, because she had some kind of natural. Right?
Yeah, exactly. The pit of the new BO basher.
Oh, really?
BO basher. That's great.
So I'm going to look into that.
You should be a copywriter.
Yeah. I don't know. Didn't you used to say that when you were at school?
BO basher, no.
BO basher?
I think you made that up.
No, I didn't. We used to
That'd
say
be a great
But also, as Claudia and I know very well, that the one thing that does cause cancer as well is meat eating.
Dairy products.
Dairy products. So,
whatever.
Yeah,
you've got two vegans in the house
really
this week.
Do we really know this, or is this, you know, the thing, like I was saying, has anyone done a study on people in Africa not wearing deodorant? And
Well, I know that in India, Steve was reading a book about something like how to live to 100. I don't know why he wants to live to 100, but and it's did a study of these people in Japan in the mountains. I can't remember the village, but it's a village, and all the people live till like 100, over 100, and none of them eat meat. And they probably don't wear deodorant either.
Or is really? It the altitude that they live in? You know, that's what I mean. You have to put two people in the same situation. One eats meat, one doesn't. And, you know, but then you've got to have a cancer gene.
But obviously it's not just not eating meat. You've got to eat the right things instead of meat.
Well, the problem over here as well, and, you know, I could go off on a tangent and talk about this till the cows come home.
The non-edible cows come home.
In, you know, the US, they put a growth hormone. They give the cows a growth hormone to make them produce 10 times as much milk as they would normally. And that growth hormone has been linked to cancer because basically it makes cancer things cells grow. Multiply. Right. Yeah. So
yeah, but I only buy meat that
says
hasn't
non-BST.
That's in the milk, though.
No, but you get dairy products that say non-BST.
Yeah, you can now get products, dairy and meat that... Mm. And I would not buy meat in this country that didn't have that certification on it.
How about when you eat in a restaurant?
You don't know.
You just don't know.
You just don't know.
You're getting the dregs.
But like I said, you try where you can try, right?
Exactly. Yeah. That's your right. It's 80-20.
Yeah. Yeah.
Can I just say another thing as well? This is not about humans, but just in animals as well. Like, there's been a lot more cancer than there used to be. And you know why? Because they're vaccinating so much more. Mm. So vaccinations... And also, we don't know if vaccinations that we've had when we were a kid also cause breast cancer later on in life. So there's all these factors.
And all sorts of other things.
All sorts of other things, yeah.
I mean, it's such a terrifying thing. The conclusion that I've just come to is, like we said, just check yourself and do what
respect
you can.
Respect yourself. Mm-hmm.
Check yourself and respect yourself. Yeah. Do you respect yourself? Is that why you wear pink furry animal hats?
Absolutely. Only real girls can wear pink.
Yeah. it's very special. So we went to see Florence and the Machine last night.
Woohoo!
So jealous.
Or just Florence with no machine.
No machine. Was she with the whole band?
No, just
a harp.
She was amazing.
Oh. Yeah, it was amazing.
The weirdest thing about her though is, I'm just gonna come and sing you a few songs, and just wanted to say that it's really nice to be here. It just comes out with this like, where the hell did that come from?
Wow, yeah, I love
it's
that.
It's so funny. Yeah, it's and fantastic. Lucy's doing her makeup.
She is.
Yeah, but it's
fantastic.
So like, she's amazing.
Yeah, she was amazing. Eileen managed to get us tickets for the private gig last night before she does her big one tonight. So it was really intimate, really small, very short, but just utterly phenomenal. I thought she was amazing. Mm.
Spine tingling.
Spine tingling. Yes.
It's fine, Dean.
We were very lucky.
We were very lucky.
You're very
blessed.
Lucky.
Oh, God. Honestly, Eileen's new thing. I'm sorry. I'm going to have a go at you for this.
I know. She hates it because I'm appreciative of life.
No, I love that you're appreciative of life, but I can't stand it when people say, I'm blessed. I'm so blessed. I'm so blessed because
It's kind of ironic. I'm not doing it in the real...
She's joking around.
Yeah, but I
did
do...
Did you put it as your Facebook status just to wind me up?
What, I'm blessed?
Yeah. Because I kept telling her to shut up last night and then she had it as her Facebook status last night. I'm not responding. But you are blessed. But I think we should say it just something along the lines of, fuck me, we're lucky.
Yeah. Cool, but blessed is kind of funny, I like it.
Mm. It's what you say when you get awarded an Oscar. That you're blessed.
What, I'm blessed. Mm.
A day that I'm sure will happen to all of us.
In my next life.
Yeah, I'm going to get an Oscar for costume design.
Yeah. I mean, you really do look great.
Maybe a Tosca.
A Tosca. It's Halloween on Saturday Ooh. Night. This place is...
Ooh.
Ooh. One thing that I find really strange about Halloween over here that's so completely different from Halloween back in England is that at home, you dress up as a ghost or a vampire or as a beheaded,
you're sexy.
You know, and here it has to be a sexy...
Slut. So you know what I think I'm going to be? Sexy skeleton?
Really? I wouldn't know how you pull that off, but if you can...
I'm going to cut the legs of a skeleton suit and wear fishnets and high heel beads.
That will be so good.
Yeah, that's
it's
excellent.
Kind of making fun, again, like being blessed, making fun of everyone.
Yeah.
Sexy pirate, sexy doctor,
oh
whatever. I'm going to be sexy skeleton.
I know, the sexy thing
I'd get
really
eyelashes
nuts.
And put them on the skull face, you know, big and big lips.
That's really
that's
cute.
Great.
That's really
Perfect.
Good. I don't know what to go as. Claudia sent out a brilliant email this morning of a guy
I had to give you some food for thought with that one.
In a massive vagina suit.
Oh, with a Tampax hanging out.
Oh, no, I didn't see the Tampax. Oh, my God, no. Oh,
that's
coming
out of his stomach
that's
on a string.
Disgusting.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's very creative.
He obviously made it himself. Cause yeah. Yeah. I can't imagine.
You know what's funny? My friend dressed up a couple of years ago as a Tampax and with a string, and she was swinging the tail. She's a schoolgirl. She wore it to school. She did.
She wore it to school. Yeah. Was it a girl's school?
Yeah.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah. I mean, I just thought the vagina was vagina outfit.
No,
was...
and it had a string hanging out.
Yeah, you've
stummy.
Got to go and look at it again. It's got a big Tampax hanging out the bottom.
It's horrible.
I don't know what to go as on Saturday night to this party.
Go
to.
As sexy Dracula.
But I don't want to do sexy.
But it's funny.
Well, the thing is, I've just written an article about it, about how every time that you go as a fancy dress as a girl, without even meaning to do it, suddenly you're wearing fishnets.
You're wearing nothing. Yeah.
No, but that's why you have to
how did
do
that
it.
Happen? Yeah.
You have to do it with irony. That's what I'm saying. Go with something really unsexy.
But make it sexy.
And make it for like sexy ghost.
Sexy ghost.
I don't know how funny that would be.
A sexy ghost.
You have a sheet on your head.
I am going as a sexy Care Bear.
Right, okay, explain.
I just felt like I had to embrace the sexy thing once while I lived in LA.
Last year you were sexy Marie Antoinette, do you remember?
I wasn't very... No, I wasn't. I turned it into Claudia the Child Vampire out of Interview with a Vampire. And I had fangs
and
blood and yellow contact lenses.
I have those. Steve
and I think that's very probably why I didn't get into the party at the Playboy Mansion that I was trying to get into. Because I wasn't sexy vampire. I was
really?
Yes.
Well, I've got kids. I've got Petals having a party 4 till 6. So I've got to sort of dress up like not scary.
Not like a Tampax.
Not
a
Tampax. It's got to be quite sort of decent because it's her.
But what about a tampon with fishnets?
Yeah,
oh yeah,
sexy
that's much. Yeah. I'm a sexy tampon.
No,
I mean,
that's just wrong.
The thing I hate about fancy dress, and I actually genuinely do hate fancy dress, is just that thing where you really go over the top, and then you get there, and after an hour, when everyone's seen your outfit, you go bloody hell, I've got to keep
this,
stupid
off.
Thing on all night now. I can't sit down. I can't walk.
I want
like
my clothes.
A twat. Yeah.
Definitely. Oh my God.
I don't know. It's fun over here, though. It's such a massive spectacle. So much more than.
Yeah,
like in
I
the UK,
so.
That you know, the parades.
I enjoy
and,
it. I'm not doing
yeah,
the parade
some really
this year.
Good
but everyone, it goes all out in America with Halloween. Mm. I mean, I got served by a vampire in CVS yesterday, which I was just like,
I got
this
served.
Is weird.
I thought you like got served.
And also, a Captain Jack Sparrow walked across the crossing roads at about 2 o'clock this morning or something when we were driving along, and I was like, wow, there he is, look. There's Captain Jack Sparrow with a hook.
But that's what's great. With me walking around with this silly hat on today, no one's going to bat an eyelid.
No.
They just give me a smile. Whereas in London,
I wouldn't take
like
that for granted,
pointed.
Eileen.
I don't know so much.
I'm
going
to go to my meeting like this.
I am. Yeah. And see if, I bet they won't bat an eyelid.
No, of course not.
The weird thing is, I did talk to you for around 30 seconds this morning before I noticed. I was like, hang on, something's not right with your head. In so many ways. That's funny. Should we talk about something serious?
Yes.
So, Eileen, you were raising some interesting points last night. Mm. After the gig, we were discussing the issue of being a very strong, feisty, independent woman, very self-sufficient, and not being able to find a man.
Yeah.
Where do you stand on that this morning? Go.
Same. Oh. No, the same. I was just saying that I think that because I can put up a shelf and I can get myself into a party and I can make my own dinner and I can pay my own rent and have my own opinions, that it's off-putting to men.
And some men.
I think most men. And there's not many men with balls out there. That's what I've been talking about with Claudia, haven't I? That it's really hard to find a man with balls. I mean, they have testicles, but they don't have balls, you know?
And we should ask our token man what he thinks about that.
Are you intimidated by the independent woman?
Absolutely not. I think it's wonderful. And I think all women should be like that, independent and strong. No, if a guy is not men enough to appreciate it, don't worry about it.
And that's exactly what I think. I think it's not the case that these men don't exist either, but it's also that you just haven't found the one for you yet.
Yeah. Oh, no, I agree with that as well.
I could say the same thing. I've just obviously found myself into a relationship which I'm definitely the girl, even though I'm still exactly the same as I was before.
I'm sure you battle with certain things, but it works. And, you know, I think men's insecurities will come out. Even if you do find the right guy, it will come out because they're, you know, it's like if you're making more money or all those things, it's like,
or people don't like it when you're more popular than them, things like that.
Well, I don't know. I think it's that men want to be the provider and the protector, and I think if they do feel that you can provide and protect for yourself, then it's kind of like, oh, I'm a bit redundant. What's my role? However, you know what you were saying last night is like, you know, I want to be back in the kitchen. Not that you want to give up on everything and go and like
I
say,
I want to feel like a girl.
Yeah, you want to feel like a girl. And the thing is, it's the right guy that will make you go into that role, like I just have with Chris. I've just gone, I never thought that I would either. Yeah. And I've just gone straight into this, what can I make you for lunch? What can I make you for dinner? And I've still got my career and, you know, thinking exactly the same way as I used to. And I never thought that that would happen. I never thought that I would take on this kind of wifely role so comfortably, but it's because I'm with a guy that absolutely loves the other side of it as well and lets me be really independent.
The same with me. I'm learning to bake. I mean,
vegan
bonkers.
She's got an oven phobia.
Bonkers.
I know, I did have an oven phobia and I've conquered it over the last couple of months, learning to bake cupcakes and
vegan cupcakes
and
your vegan empire that you're going to start
and make cookies, and that's a whole bizarre new turnaround for me. My mum's shocked. She can't believe
it. So that's your feminine side coming out.
My feminine side is coming out.
Because he's brought that out of you.
I guess so. Yeah, and I love looking after him, but we still go out and have loads of fun and party, and, you know, I haven't really changed. Another side of me is just emerging. Yeah, that's it.
That's it. That's all it is.
The thing with me, what it is the guys I meet, I tell them the sky's green, and they go, oh, yeah, it's lovely shade of green, isn't it? Olive, isn't it? It's like, I feel like all the guys I meet, or maybe it's LA, but they don't have opinions.
But then I've met loads of guys like that. Therefore,
and you're all
worked.
Interesting. All three of you are involved with people not from LA.
Interesting.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah.
Are you from LA? Before we put our foot right in it.
No.
No, okay.
Yeah.
There's definitely a certain type of breed of person here. I think, what a bizarre place to be born and raised, for a start. But then to come here young. Is another way that affects your soul, I think. Like, everyone is here. Everyone is here. What's the word I'm looking for? Transiently. Like, you know, very few people come to LA to grow old and live forever. Everyone's here to get something and to gain something really quickly. So you don't very often meet people who are looking for love or looking to settle down because no one thinks they're going to be here.
Well, it's funny you say that because I was thinking about me and Gail because we are permanent here. We live here. And you two are a bit transient because you go back and forward. So it's hard for us to develop real friendships even, not even relationship, love relationships.
Because people are coming
and
going.
But people like you, I get attached to you and then you're going to go back and you don't know when you're coming back. You're going to go back. And I'm like, you know, it's so like you don't get attached to people as well. So maybe that's my thing.
I think it is. I think in the, subconsciously that's a big deal. And I think one thing that's really working with me and Chris is that I know that there's always that option that we will go where we need to go, as in home.
Yeah.
At
together.
Some point. Yeah. That when I dated someone last year who said he would never leave LA, that was a huge problem because I was like, well,
I love it, and I don't plan to leave LA for a good few years.
But you might not want to stay here forever.
This isn't where I want to... Well, at the moment, I want to be forever.
But also, let's face it, lots of blokes over here are really keeping an eye out for, you know, someone young, hot...
Or someone who can help their career.
Exactly. Yeah. It's a really hard place
to date. Yeah. I mean... In your case, you do go. I mean, you go out a lot, and you go to, you know.
I just seem to go out on Thursdays.
I'm just saying. The people that you meet maybe out, as opposed to someone you would meet in a different situation. Mm. You know, through a friend or you know, that's a different type of person. I think. I mean, that LA, you know, scene. You're probably right. Yeah, they would all agree that the sky was. Purple, green, or whatever.
Just to get in your pants or whatever.
Yeah, but I know, you know, I mean, we both know guys that you get on really, really well with that aren't from LA.
Yeah.
That you could potentially.
But I couldn't.
Only because you wear the same ones. Yes, we're thinking of the same ones. But that's just, you know, because of other stuff. But it's not, you know. Yeah.
I remember when I first moved here and I was single about a year and a half ago, and I was really excited about moving here because you just know about the dating culture in America as just being so different from... England, that you can, you know, it's not bad of you, as long as you're not sleeping with them, to date like more than one person at a time. Like, there's no expectation to sleep with someone on the first night, which I think there is in England.
Is there?
Well, I just think it's more normal. People get absolutely...
He's moving to England.
Yeah, there's not such a dinner date culture, kiss at the end of the night. It's like, very often, you know, the question in the morning is, did you sleep with him?
Really?
And yeah, I just think it's more normal. Over here, it's not. It's frowned upon. I'll never forget a story about a friend of mine that moved to New York about 5 years ago. She got in with this really cool bunch of people, was having a great time, and ended up meeting a guy at a party one night and giving him a blowjob. And the next morning, none of the friends would talk to her.
No.
Yep. I am serious. She was like, joking. She kind of reported back to us in London going, what did I do? And all the girls in the group, who were a really cool bunch of people who she just thought were unshockable, were just like, it's not cool to do that. So, yeah, I know, which I just thought was extraordinary because in London, what's it got to do with them anyway? Yeah. But, you know, it's obviously not ideal to do it on the first night, but people do in England, and I think it's really accepted. Here, it's not so common. From what I could gather.
So moving to England.
So when I moved here, though, I was expecting that really kind of fluid dating culture.
So that's where I went wrong in England.
Yeah, exactly. But I was expecting to come to LA and for it to be loads of dates and just be asked out for dinner all the time.
Just have a sore mouth.
Yeah, but because that's what it's like in New York. I remember sitting in a cafe in New York and being asked out for dinner by somebody because someone just thought, I look nice.
But that's what it's not. We don't do the dating thing in England, though, really.
No,
do
we don't.
You don't have several blokes on the trot who you are just going out for dates with. At least I never did, and I don't think any of my friends did. You'd go out and you'd snog someone, or you would see someone for a bit and shag them and it would go wrong.
We don't say shag on this show.
I love the word shag.
It's been so long since I was in the dating world. I can't even fucking remember.
Oh, saying, sorry, bonking.
Shag. I think it's nice.
Don't say it for some reason.
No.
I just think it's
so. The whole dating thing was new to me. I was in New York for a year and a half before I moved to LA, and that's also a difficult place to find love.
Really?
Yeah.
See, I just see New York as like where people are shameless and comfortable with it, and just are like, would you like to go out for dinner and ask you out on dates? And that just doesn't happen in LA.
But they date. But they're not necessarily looking for commitment in any way, shape, or form. And you can't assume that you're the only person that they're seeing. You might just be Monday's girl. Yeah. And they've also got Tuesdays, Wednesdays, Thursdays, Fridays,
I get asked out all
Saturdays
the time
and Sundays.
For dinner, but I don't want to have dinner with the people.
No,
that
I'd rather
me.
Go for dinner with my friends, or I'd rather stay
at
home.
So many, like, I had, not anymore, but American girlfriends who would go out to dinner with a guy that they didn't like
just to get a free dinner.
I was like, why on earth would you spend 2 or 3 hours with someone? Yeah.
Exactly.
Have cheese on toast at home.
Don't get it.
You know?
Yeah. I definitely think I had a good 6 month dating experience when I wrote my book, and it was awesome. But as soon as the 6 month period was up, I really didn't want to do it anymore. Like, go on, you know, kind of serial dates. And then it was very much a case of, like, if someone I like asked me out, then yes, I'll go. But ended up saying over the last 5 years, no, a lot more than I would say yes. Now I'm in a relationship, even if things go tits up with Chris, I can't imagine myself going back to dating again. Like, I think I'd be very much just very content to wait and see if someone happened to walk through the door.
Exactly.
Type thing.
I agree. You can say tits up but not shag.
Yeah. I don't know what it is. I just think it's because, I don't know. It's something about the word shag that I'm just not happy about.
I really like it. I think it's such a lovely word.
I miss saying it out here. Mm. I think that's why I said it, because I felt like I could.
Mm. You know, the shag out here is a dance.
It's a haircut.
Oh, and a dance.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
It's a haircut.
It's like bang is a fringe.
Yeah.
Can we say banging? Fancy a banging?
Yeah, I quite like banging, bonking.
Bonking.
Humping.
I haven't said bonking since I was 15.
Sexing.
Bonking.
Sexing.
Good to see.
Hello, would you like to come home and do some sexing? Hello.
Hello.
Sexy time.
You like sexy time with me?
Is that us over something serious now then?
Yeah.
I guess you're a really sleepy stage at the moment. You know when you go through periods of like severe insomnia and then periods when you just go to bed and don't ever want to get out of it?
That's because you got a boyfriend.
It's because I got a boyfriend.
And it's cold outside.
I was resentful this morning because I woke up late and didn't get to have a snuggle before I got out of bed.
Can I just revert to the serious topic for 1 second and ask what you all think of these dating like guidebooks and how to find a man and catch him and keep him and reel him in and keep him next to you forever and have the best love life?
Well, I hate the idea that we have to look at dating as a formula we have to follow.
Right, but do they work? Don't you just think that if you meet someone, there's a bit of chemistry and it works or it doesn't, but you know, you don't need to go home and swat up and try and put all these, I don't know, if it's going to work, it's going to work, and if they fancy you, they fancy you, if they don't, they don't.
Well, there are certain things though, like there are certain ways to behave that would not, ways that men would just be like, oh my God, you know, things that are probably obvious to most people, but maybe in a book, some people will be like, you know, they might call them like 10 times a day because they think, you know, I like this guy. Whereas a book may say, you know, it's really not cool to call some, you know.
But the book isn't that. The book just feel like written for people who don't care about romance. They want a husband. That's what those books are written for. And they want a provider. I've known loads of women who go on Match.com and things like that. Mm. And they want a wealthy man who can provide for them and give them children and give them a big house. They don't care about romance. It'd be great if that's in.
Yeah. But they've still got to, you know.
But that's why they play by these. But that's why they're capable of playing by the rules of these books.
Because they're on a one-track mission to get her man, any man. They don't care what he looks like.
Exactly.
Or they don't even care if they've got the hots for him. They just want.
And that's when the books work, when you don't get your emotions in the way.
I hate the idea of having tactics, like going to a date with a bunch of like, this is how I'm going to play this thing.
Yeah, it's game playing.
You can really trip over the idea of having, having a formula of how you're going to trap your
man. It's calculating anyway, and I think a man would see through it. Not all men, but
men have little formulas too, I know.
I'm sure.
But you have your own, not something that you read in a book. I've got a pile of those books that people have sent me to read, and I've never read any of them. I'm a really big believer in chemistry.
The most useful one, I think, is he's just not that into you you know, the amount of excuses you hear from your friends. Well, I know he likes me. He was just busy. And then his phone had no signal for 3 weeks.
Yeah.
And then, he changed his phone number and forgot to tell me.
Everyone knows what it's like when a guy's into you.
Yeah.
Right. You know how guys are.
But I'm sure we've also all been in the situation where we've really liked someone and you do make excuses and you are constantly hoping that there was a reason why he didn't call when he said he was going to, and you know, and you drag it out.
I try not to worry about it, and I say, why didn't you call me? And then if they say, it's because I'm not that into you, and I'm like, oh, okay.
Yep. No one ever says that, though. No one ever says that. I've definitely just gone down a very slow spiral with guys before when I've just been like... and they are just being so blatantly obvious.
I'm sweating in this hat.
Oh, yeah, we've all done that. I mean, God, like, waiting for them to call and then it's just like...
Yeah, and forgiving them forgiving for not calling.
Because you know when I met my husband, when we were dating... I told him I would never call him because I didn't want to have that worry that if I left him a message and did he get it and all that, because I really liked him and I knew he liked me, but I didn't want to have to think, oh no. So I said, even if you call back. So I'm not going to return your call. You always have to get me on the phone, for like, just because I didn't want to worry about it. And it worked really well. And he had to call me before he came over. He could never just like show up, and was nice.
The worst thing I think about when you're dating somebody and you're not quite sure if you... Oh, no, she's sweating.
She can't get out of it, though.
But I think the worst thing about that is waiting. Like, not just the cool thing, but I remember when I first started dating Chris and he would, like, he'd say, I'll be over about
11:30 and then he would turn up at 12:30
the next day.
And I would just be really angry. I'd say, you know, I would have liked to have gone to bed at 11:30 rather than waiting up in case the door went. Mm. And he'd be like, oh, I'm really sorry. And I'd be like, no, it's okay. And I don't care if you come in at 4 in the morning. Mm. Just let me know. Yeah. That's all it is. Yeah. And I just think it's that, just being polite and just letting someone know. Because I think if a guy is rude enough to, like, leave me for 2 hours waiting, then he obviously doesn't give a shit.
Right.
Well, I was given some really interesting and useful advice by a male friend of mine once who said you should judge a man on how he treats you before he's fallen head over heels in love with you, because that's how he's going to go back to being once the honeymoon period
worn
off. And that came from a bloke, and it sort of makes sense, and it's something that I actually I keep it at the back of my mind because it's quite true. They are the way they are, and then they fall for you. They are head over heels
Russell
in
Brand
love.
Said it the other night, didn't he?
And
that first stage where he wants to make you coffee and bring you breakfast in bed and all that stuff.
Right,
and
but then that does fizzle out. I mean, you can still remain in love and really happy, but that whole massive fireworks explosion is going to subside a bit, and he's probably going to go back to being very similar to how he was before that head over heels craziness kicked in. So I think that's something to bear in mind, how they are in the early stages.
Well, that's something to look forward to, everybody, isn't it?
And also,
no, but you've got a good one, you know, and the reason you've fallen in love with him is
in
the first place.
I think it's also a sign as well when a guy, before you even know them, is completely over the top.
Oh, like, that's a massive turn off.
I had that last year.
Not as in, because I had this a couple of times when I was like 18, 19, like with two guys that were just so like, you know, wanted to date me, and it was like a chase, you know. And then as soon as I went out with them, they were just like,
that was it.
You know.
I know.
Let me just to clarify though, women can do exactly the same.
Of course, absolutely. I'm just remembering like two particular times.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking, this is too much. There was too much.
Yeah, you know? I've had crazy, like, you know, roller coaster rides of woohoo, falling in love, and then bam, they've just gone off me from one day to the next.
It's the 3 month
I've gone
moment.
Off them from one day to the 3 months.
Always 3 months in.
Yeah,
that's why I've had quite a few 3 month long relationships.
Me too, 3 months.
Then, yeah, and with Chris, I remember at the 3 month point, I was like, here it comes. Yeah. What's it going to be, on or off? And
like,
it was touch and go, and it was
it.
On. And I was like, oh my God, now we're going to be fine. But that 3 month moment is that critical
thing.
Well,
because that's
when
boys feel like they actually your boyfriend if it's been 3 months.
Yeah, and
then they decide whether they want to be. And you also get
to decide. I think I've definitely moved away after 3 months as many times as the guys moved away after 3 months. But yeah, it's an amazing moment when you both go, oh, actually, I quite like to go.
And also, we put so much importance on finding the right bloke and whether he's going to stick around for us. But you need to make up your mind whether you actually want a bloke or not. That's part of the problem. And it definitely, for me, I've had years, more than I'm going to publicly admit, of being mostly single and interspersed with some really ill-considered and just disastrous short flings. And I sort of felt a bit sorry for myself until I thought, you know what, but actually I really haven't been ready. I didn't want it. I was a commitment phobe. And I also was always looking for someone else better to come along until I said, you know what, actually now I'm ready. And it took a while after that, but it has happened. Yeah. But you're not there yet.
No, of course I'm not. But what I'm saying is that because there's no produce out there?
No, that's rubbish.
So.
And I think as soon as you've got that attitude,
it's energy attracting.
Yeah, but you're not looking. You say there's nothing there.
It's
you. And you know why? You're saying nothing there, and you're getting nothing.
Yeah.
You're getting these guys that are nothing. Yeah. This guy is, you know.
Exactly. You're chatting to guys thinking you're not going to like me because I'm too independent.
No. Or
I'm
you're
not
nothing.
No,
yeah, exactly. So that's what you're getting. Whatever you,
because you're too wishy-washy.
Whatever you put out energetically, when you go to the universe, I'm ready.
It's probably because I don't want anyone. I'm quite happy being with myself.
I'm sure. Sure, that's why.
Okay, then you have an assignment this week. You have some homework.
Okay.
To flirt with at least one man and...
Like a man.
But also...
I do like men with beards.
But before... When the moment comes where you think this isn't working, just try and go one step further in the conversation and see if you can get over that hurdle. Because sometimes it's just
What do you mean?
Well, I just mean... You're chatting to someone and within a couple of minutes you think, oh, he hasn't got balls. He might be nervous or he might be doing something.
No, usually
I
give them
a chance
or even have sex with them or something. It's not like I rule them out in the conversation. They get a chance.
When I make my mind up after I've slept with them, of course.
No, they get a chance. I go out with them a few times. I'm like, God, you know, I was giving you a chance. You know, I even checked and you haven't got balls.
So that's why you were so excited the other night about that Irish man with the beard.
What?
Which Irish man with the beard?
Which Irish man with the beard?
Oh, the one who was singing, because I love beards.
Oh,
the guy
yeah.
from Once.
Oh, he's lovely.
Yeah, yeah, we saw him sing at the Dresden. He's a friend of Dawn's friends.
I saw that. I saw him sing at the last, was it 2 years ago?
Saw him sing at the, you came to the Oscar party with me, no? The Mondrian. That's where I first saw him sing.
No, I didn't. I saw him at the Billboard.
But so, yeah, here's the guy from The Commitments and Brona, who played the little one in The Commitments, the girl. She was there the other night as well.
How exciting.
You know how, I hate to say this, she's really unattractive in that movie.
Yeah.
But as an adult
she's
with
beautiful.
Long hair, she's so beautiful. Yeah. I've never seen anything like it. Yeah. Anyway, we've got to wrap up.
Good.
Thanks for coming on, Claudia.
Oh, you're yeah. very welcome,
Thank you.
Dawn.
We'll have to have you back. You're off to India.
I am.
How long for?
For a month.
Well, maybe you can come on again and tell us all about it when you get
I
back.
Will.
When do you go?
November the 15th.
Oh my God.
3 weeks on my own in India.
Oh, blimey. Okay, well, happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween. And thanks, Edo.
Yes, thank you, Edo.